Hello everyone and welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. Looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host tonight, Ryan. Jocelyn is not feeling so well. She is off sick this week, so send your get well tweets to @JossPlays. But tonight I am joined by a longtime awesome person, Ventigo, otherwise known as Jeff. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm great.
Oh, see, you're not. You've been long time awesome, short time just great, but usually awesome. That's good. Yep. Well, this is off to a great start, and I and the reason I've pulled Jeff in is because I know. Well, I didn't know. I actually just assumed he was playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and I felt what better way to kick off another event as is Nintendo launching a smart device app by convincing Ventigo. I'm going to call you Ventigo because I always call you Ventigo. Ventigo to purchase, not purchase, but download Fire Emblem Heroes. You had not done so yet, and I think I tapped you yesterday to kind of play before the show, and it got you, didn't it? It got you good.
It got me. Is there a Nintendo Switch Fire Emblem? Because I'll totally just buy a Switch.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. It's interesting, and this is something we can talk about as well. It's interesting how Nintendo is sort of not positioning these apps as literal advertisements for games coming out at the same time, but really getting those characters in the front of your head to sort of say, what else is coming out in this franchise? So let me tell you, as someone who is very fascinated with the Fire Emblem franchise, they're coming out with a new Fire Emblem in May on the 3DS, which is a remake of the second one, which never came to the States. So that one is coming in May, but they are developing a Fire Emblem Switch game for release in 2018. They announced that. No details on what it is besides the fact that it is Fire Emblem and it will be on the Switch. So that should be interesting, I think.
Let me ask you, is the combat in this phone app the mm-hmm. same as it is in the games?
Well, yes.
I've never played a Fire Emblem game in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yes and no. I mean, the app is very simplified. The combat is similar. There are smaller maps, less units. So there's a max of 4 units per side, whereas in Fire Emblem proper, you would sometimes bring in 12 to 15 units to battle between 10 and 20 units, varying different skills and health points and levels. So this is definitely a trimmed down version, but it has the same idea. You know, it has the rock, paper, scissors system of, you know, sword beats axe, it's lance beats sword, axe beats lance, and sword beats axe. Anyways, there's that trinity there, the weapon trinity. And, you know, characters. That's one of the biggest things about Fire Emblem are the host of characters. Obviously, with the app, you're getting every character ever made into a Fire Emblem game that you get to download. All your favorites are there, including Marth and Roy and all those awesome people.
I got Marth.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous you got Marth. I did not get Marth. The game sort of boots up and gives you like sort of a base tutorial. And I'm actually trying to pull it up here because I wanted to look at costs. It is free to play. And the orbs you get allow you to summon random heroes from a pool of 5 different types of heroes.
Now, what's the difference between the two pools, though?
So the two pools, so that's an interesting question. So when you load up Fire Emblem, there'll be a download. But when you load up Fire Emblem Heroes, there are, under the Summon tab, there's these two focuses, which is interesting. Because you could just summon and you'd pull from a pool of axe fighters, lance fighters, sword fighters, bows, and wizards. And what they're doing here, I think, is that they put a focus on specific type of heroes. So one focus is legendary heroes. So if you click on the details tab, it'll actually tell you there's a focus of 4 heroes, of which you have Marth, Lucina, Tiki, and Robin. and then the next one is a different focus. I think that's just, you know, if you want to narrow down the character you want. So for me, I wanted to get Lynn because she was one of the first characters I ever played in a Fire Emblem game, because she was basically the first character that you get to play as in the first Fire Emblem game that came out here in the States. So I've been using that summoning pool to sort of try and boost my chances of getting that hero, because, you know, the appearance rates, they're all over the place in terms of these percentages of getting your heroes. This is Nintendo's free-to-play game. If anyone was thinking that Nintendo was going to shy away from the free-to-play model, this should be evidence that they do not care. They are going to try everything and anything when it comes to their mobile apps. And I don't know. Do you play a lot of free-to-play games?
I played Hearthstone a lot.
Yeah, I know. And honestly, I know a lot of people listening to this, that would be their answer. You know, we have a lot of Hearthstone listeners. I'm a fan of Hearthstone. It is certainly a free-to-play game. I'm trying to determine the similarities between the two, but the biggest difference is the fact that there isn't an energy bar in Hearthstone. You can just kind of
keep playing. Like, that's kind of, I mean, for me it's more of a battery bar.
Yeah, it is a bit of a battery drain. I was playing while charging and it didn't charge my phone. It was just literally playing Fire Emblem, and there is literally a stamina bar, which you get 50 points. And I think during the first week of release, they're giving you an opportunity to train and do a couple of other things at a reduced stamina cost. But all the story battles cost about ranging between 5 and 10 stamina. And it all ranges from there. So I don't know. How do you feel about the sort of free-to-play mechanics in the game? Do you find they're getting in the way?
Nice balance between, you know, some other models. But can we go back to the summon thing?
Okay, yeah.
This isn't going to be good for the podcast listeners, but is there a way you can show the deep devotion to the stream?
The what?
The deep devotion tab of the summoning focus.
Sure. So, okay.
You'll just show them the one that we both got.
So, the one on the right with, so if you've played, so this is the deep devotion tab. And basically that gives you an idea of the heroes you're going to be able to get. And, I think her name is Camilla. That seems wrong now that I say it out loud. So let me, it is Camilla. She is a character from the newest Fire Emblem game, Fire Emblem Fates. And she is your sister, but she's really weird about it because she's technically your adoptive sister and she's like overly affectionate. It's really weird and kind of pretty much right on the line in sexual behavior. So that is a thing. Again, not throwing stones here. Japanese game, Japanese characters, but it is interesting.
Both older.
I know we did, and I'm kind of thinking, and that comes from the fact that you get a 3% chance to pull that. You get a 3% chance to pull one of those four characters. So that kind of gives you an idea of, like, if you want a specific character, you can choose one of the two focuses. And really, I've found that outside of getting Camilla, like, you know, her character attributes and her look aside, she's a very strong character. She's a 5-star golden character. And that's how this game works, is that you have your 1 to 5 stars of characters. You can upgrade them. You can train them. That's 5-star character. You have a 1 in 4 chance and a 3% drop. So that's a pretty low percentage of getting that character. The fact that we both got it within the same time frame is kind of weird. But I know a lot of people have been trying to get her for different reasons. She's a very strong character. I'm just going to throw that out there. She's very strong.
There's a mechanic I heard about that was in the latest game where you poke them something, you pet them.
Yeah.
It's in this one too.
Yeah, I don't think it does anything. It just, like, makes them say things. But I could be mistaken. I don't know.
It's a little weird.
It is a little weird, and again, this is an interesting offering from Nintendo. It's made by Intelligent Systems, which are the guys in partnership with DNA, but is made by the folks that have been making Fire Emblem games since the early 90s, and it stays true to that combat. The summoning stuff aside, like, that's how you get your characters. And if you're like me and you've played the series since the Game Boy Advance, you're going to have characters that you're going to really want to play as. And you just have to be patient, because you're not going to get those heroes right away. The chances of you getting a hero that you'll tolerate's the wrong word, but just enjoy for the sake of having it, pretty strong, because they give you a huge drop of orbs, which is what you're using to summon these heroes, right away, for free. And then you get a trickle of them as you go forward in the game by completing story maps and whatnot. Someone in the Gamers in Chat or Gamers in Discord had put it quite well, in that this is a very typical free-to-play game. They give you everything else in droves, but they just serve up those orbs like with an eyedropper. Like, you're getting one or two here and there.
There is an exploit going around,
right,
with those, where you do the tutorial and then buy the four characters you get all the orbs with, and then you uninstall it and then you reinstall it.
I have heard that. Yeah.
But you can't link your Nintendo account. So.
Right. I've heard people doing that. They're trying to get... I read an article on Polygon. People are trying to get Takumi, which is a archer who has a counter from one space away, which is kind of unheard of with archers. A Fire Emblem staple is that the archers can shoot from one space away, but they can't counterattack or attack from the adjacent spaces. So that's a big deal for an archer to be able to do that, kind of overpowered. And people are really taking advantage of that. And like you said, not exploiting, but like just going through the painful process through the RNG gods, waiting to see what they get. And if they don't get a pull that they like, they delete their cache and restart. Is that what they're doing?
They just delete the whole app and restart.
Ah, yes. That sounds like a lot of work. Honestly, I've been enjoying the game without the fact of getting like the characters that I really want. And I know eventually I will get those characters at some point. Like, they will just come. I will get them. You know, I'm slowly earning orbs. I did want to let folks know, like, how much it costs to get orbs. So let's see, purchase orbs. And I think this is this is way too expensive, because we did the math before the show. And how many orbs was it, you said, to summon the five heroes?
I just did it now, and I think I had 21, and it used 20.
Okay, so basically you spend five orbs to pull up five spheres that are different colors, and they go in the summoning stone. And I don't actually know the words. I'm just trying to describe what it is we're seeing. But
I think it's some kind of weapon or something.
Yeah, maybe. It's like a temple or... Oh, right. The story is pretty convoluted, but also kind of simplistic in the same way. But it's this bow that I guess you get as the tactician that is summoned. And you can shoot it. And when you shoot it, it summons heroes from across the different Fire Emblem games. And so it displays you five spheres of different colors. So the colors dictate which type of character you're going to get. So that might help you also narrow down the fact that, oh, I want Lin, so I know I want a red orb to summon. So once those five are up, you choose one, because you've already spent the orbs. And then your character is summoned, and you get a one-star Hannah or whatever. And you're like, well, shit, that sucks. So you have the option to spend, it's four... And then
yeah, it's the first one's five, next one's four, then three, or it might be three and three at the end. I forget.
Yeah, for some reason I thought it reduced with every summon, so you got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but no. that's not correct. Which sucks, because if you look at the prices of the orbs, and this is the biggest fault that the game has, is that these are astronomical in costs. Three orbs, which isn't even enough to summon a hero, is like $3 Canadian. So I would
miss it in my shop.
Yeah, what's the American cost? That's a good idea. Now 10 orbs.
$2.
So 10 orbs, which is a little more realistic, that'll give you two summon pulls. That's $8.50 here in Canada. And then it just keeps going up from there. Like, when you start to get to the range of enough orbs that you would feel comfortable doing a bunch of pulls, you're looking at $20 for 23 orbs, which is that's expensive. And I think not even falls within the realm of what I would consider supporting the game. Like, I play a couple of free-to-play games, and when I get to a point where I feel like I've played enough of it or a lot of it and want to keep going, I'm like, I'm going to throw some money at this thing. And I feel like if you were to throw money at this app, and you want to get something for it because you're supporting the app and you want to get a little something extra, I don't think you're getting much by purchasing those orbs, you know?
No.
Like, two pulls, like, that's not very good. Like, would you, like, having played it for the last couple of days, would you feel comfortable dropping money into it to support it with that being the reward, like a couple summons?
I might have already.
Oh, you might have already.
I kind of did it for research because I just wanted to see what the other... Because I did the legendary and I wanted to do the other one.
Oh, okay. So you bought a pack of orbs. Did you buy, like, the base pack or what did you
do? I bought enough to get the five pulls.
Five pulls?
Mm-hmm. The, you know, from one orb pack.
Oh. So you put $20 into it?
No, 12.
Oh, that's not bad. I think we have different... Are you playing on Android or iOS?
iOS. Oh. Oh, it's 13. I'm sorry. For the 23 pack.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
But that's all I'm never going to spend on this game.
Yeah, exactly. You have no reason to spend any other money on it because you got your orbs, right? And you put your money in. And I guess if I really went back and looked at it, 13...
Have you seen the upgrade the castle button?
I have seen that. So you can spend orbs to upgrade your castle. And when you upgrade your castle, I think that increases the amount of XP you get. Basically the amount of XP you get when your characters go into battle. And I did that two or three times as I was grinding through orbs and stuff. But, you know, I was kind of hoping, you know, they have a reward in there. So it's rife with just free-to-play, grind-to-earn stuff. And I say that not necessarily a negative light, but, like, just the fact that there's tons to do in the game. There's the story mode, there are arena duels, there's training, there are special maps that they're constantly adding week to week. And then there are quests, and those quests reward you with, there's like five or six different consumables in the game. Like, there's a lot going on, and the tutorial, like, basically cuts you off pretty quick. I felt like that tutorial should have kept going a bit, because they don't explain much. Like, how far into the other modes did you get with Fire Emblem Heroes?
I've only done the story, mm-hmm. and I tried to do the special ones last night,
mm-hmm.
But they were too hard, and I didn't have anyone that could... I didn't have any mages, so...
Yeah.
They've
been adding... So they added a bunch of launch celebration stuff. So there's a map there that you can play that'll give you like three orbs once you complete it. But it doesn't go away for, I think, 30 days, even though they're adding new ones each week. So they've actually detailed a lot of like post-launch content that they're doing. And their plan is to add something like a new chapter every 2 weeks, which is kind of crazy if they could do that. And I think that would be really cool if they could. And if the game is as successful as we're seeing on Twitter and downloads and whatnot, like, it'll be nice to see this game continue to be added to with content, right? But I feel like they've basically got the heroes. Like, there's a lot of heroes in there that you would want to use. Like, as a fan of the franchise, I think they've pretty much got all the characters in there that you would want, you know, from the get-go.
I think my MVP right now is Puri. Is that her name?
Puri?
The blue-haired lady.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of blue-haired ladies in the game.
She talks about blood a lot.
Oh, I don't know. That one's not ringing a bell. It could have been one of the Japanese characters, but I don't know.
P-E-R-I.
P-E-R-I? Is she a...
She's a Lancer.
She's a Lancer? Oh, okay. I don't know. There's characters that'll pop up and be like, I don't remember that character. But then when you click on their name, it'll say it's from a game that I played. And that's the thing, is that there are over like 40 unique characters per game that they throw in there, and they usually reset the game when you buy a new one. So when you buy a new one, it's usually a new universe, new characters, new everything. They really throw everything out and start fresh, even though it is kind of set all in the same universe. But I've been really enjoying it. Honestly, I was worried about the free-to-play nature of it, because there's a lot of it in there. But if you go in, just kind of play it here and there, like you would any normal free-to-play game, you don't really rub up against those barriers as much as I thought you would. If Hearthstone's sort of your bar, it's not like Hearthstone in the sense that there are a lot of free-to-play hooks in there.
There's a lot of ways to get what you want.
Yeah, there are a lot of ways to get in there and have fun, but with Hearthstone, I feel like the only barrier is, like, you gotta have cards to play. And in this game, in Fire Emblem Heroes, like, that isn't really a problem. Like, you're always gonna have heroes to play with. They give you, through the story, they give you 4 or 5 heroes right off the bat. And those heroes are actually pretty good, and they cover the range of what you would need.
That archer dude is not very good.
Virion or whatever, guy they give you.
Yeah.
He's not bad, but there are better archers in the game. And better archers character-wise as well. He's kind of a smart aleck. You know, he's not, his personality isn't quite what you would want to have around. And there are more interesting archers in the game. I unfortunately am still using him because I don't have another archer that I'm particularly fond of yet. So
that's exactly what I was saying, but I just switched about for mage now, so.
And that's not bad. There are a couple mage, like there's at least one character per class that I really want. But unfortunately all those characters are kind of rare, and I haven't come across them yet. I actually haven't done a summon in a while, because I'm slowly building up my orbs again after the last pull I did, and kind of got a bunch of stuff that I just not really feeling it. But the story's okay. The story maps are pretty good. Like they offer you the base game to kind of go in there and fiddle around with. From what I can tell, there's no like direct PvP. It's all your characters are saved to the cloud, and you play against the AI when you do a duel. So basically, when you go into the arena, you're facing someone's AI. You're not literally facing someone, which is pretty normal for these type of games. But from what I can see, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's no like face-to-face battles yet.
I wouldn't know. I haven't really dabbled.
Yeah, you're just scratching the surface. Hey, so final thoughts on Fire Emblem Heroes.
It's a cool game. You should download it.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I did. I did download it, and I convinced you to download it. And it is free to play. And the biggest thing for me is that if you have played Fire Emblem in the past, you might not be inclined. You might not enjoy Fire Emblem Heroes as much as you've enjoyed past Fire Emblem games, because the story isn't as interesting. It's kind of like, oh, we're warring factions protecting these gateways, and one faction wants to go through the gateways and enslave people, and the other faction wants to protect the gateways, and of course we're going to fight. And then it goes through the motions of, oh, now they're invading a different gateway. Let's go there. Hey, it's the guys from Birthright. It's the guys from Fates, you know, that sort of thing. The story really isn't there, and the characters are there, but the stories for those characters aren't there. Like, they just sort of show up, fish out of water.
We're under contract.
Exactly. We can't
help you until you defeat us.
Exactly. It's pretty benign in terms of the story, which for some folks who are fans of the franchise might be a little bummed by that. But the core gameplay is there, and I think the grid system has been ported very well over to the iOS and Android, and I think that if you just want to get a small taste of Fire Emblem, this is the way to do it. And it's free. There are no barriers to start playing, and there are no barriers to continue playing. You can earn all that stuff by just continuing to play. You don't have to purchase anything. You just keep going. Now, if you want that specific hero and you want to do a bunch of summons, then yes, you're going to need to buy those orbs if you want to do it right this second. But you don't necessarily have to. So I don't know.
Is there a core mechanic from the games that wasn't ported over? I heard there was like, is there permadeath in the real game?
That's a good point. Actually, I almost forgot to mention that. Basically, when you die in the real games, when your characters die, the normal method of play, those characters would either die in-game forever and you wouldn't be able to use them again, or they would be retired. And so basically, if the character was key to the story, they wouldn't kill them off. They'd just like, oh, I'm severely injured, so I'm just going to be in these crutches for the rest of the game. I'll show up and talk to you, but I'm not going to be able to fight. Whereas in the app, if your characters die, the biggest penalty is that they don't retain any XP that they earned in that fight. So say you got Anna, who is one of the characters you get at the beginning, killing a bunch of dudes, and she's racked up 3 or 4 levels. If she gets taken out before you finish the match, all that XP that you sunk into her by killing those guys is gone. So that's the biggest penalty, and probably one of the biggest core tenets of Fire Emblem that they did not bring over. And they really don't nail that in. They kind of just be like, don't die, it's bad, okay? You know? But yeah, that's a good point. That's one of the things they did not bring over, and probably for good reason, because like the last thing they want is permadeath on characters, right?
Yeah. You spend money on this. You don't want to lose it.
Well, yeah, especially ones that you're spending money on to get randomly. And could you imagine if you got a character that, like Camilla, a 5-star character.
What if you got the focus version?
I did get the focus version, I think.
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't? I think you did. You sent me the screenshot. I think it was.
There's to be like a star next to it or something.
Oh, then maybe I didn't get it either. Maybe I just got the normal one. But anyways, besides the point, I'm really enjoying Fire Emblem Heroes. I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with it next, what they're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of opportunities for them to build upon the game, and they have stated that they're looking to do that in many different ways. So in terms of, like, for those folks who were complaining about Super Mario Run having the $15 price tag and the always online, here's the complete opposite from Nintendo, and you get to judge. And if you look at the App Store reviews, Fire Emblem Heroes is like kind of rocking a 4-star, 5-star rating, right?
I didn't even touch Mario Run, whatever it was.
Yeah, I liked Mario Run. I really did. And I enjoyed the ability to just pay $15 to play it and not have to ever worry about being bombarded with a restore your energy thing. And I'll say this about Fire Emblem, actually. The restore your energy bit, like, if you go through 50 stamina, you have probably, like, 10 potions that you can use, and those potions just really just bring your stamina all the way back up. So you don't feel like you're being punished for playing the game too much, as much as you would normally be punished when playing one of those wait-and-play games.
Like I said before, the only thing you're getting punished on is your battery life.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no real.
If you can manage to get rid of your stamina bar, then you are a true Fire Emblem hero god.
I've done it once or twice just by like running around doing different modes and playing for a good chunk of time. But you're right, my phone nearly died when I did that. But there's no wait and come back portions of the game. Your arena dual swords replenishes every day. And you can do the arena or you can just replenish them using, you know, these crests that you have, or you can buy with in-game coins, not necessarily real money. But I found that basically you're not waiting around. Like, you're not, you know, oh, come back in 20 hours while we build your keep expansion. It's like, that's not happening in this game. So I'm pretty sure
they just opened up the social menu in that update before the podcast.
What do you mean a social menu?
The left little fountain on the homepage.
Oh, really? I thought it was always there.
I couldn't click on it before. Maybe I did something.
Oh, maybe. Anyways, that's Fire Emblem Heroes. And, I mean, I'm going to keep playing it. It sounds like Jeff's going to keep playing it. So, yeah, you guys should play it. And the only thing that really sucks is that there's no, like, in Super Mario Run, you could connect it to social media. You can't connect it to social media in this for some reason. I can't find a way to do it. So, like, if you want to add people as friends, you need to send them your, like, 12-digit code, friend code. So those are back. Fun times. Not really, but yeah.
Hey, though, you know, the Switch is going to have a phone app that's all friends.
Oh, really? Well, I guess we'll see. We shall see, but that's Fire Emblem Heroes. I want to hear about Conan Exiles, in an early access game. Jeff, you're playing it. What's up? What's up with Conan? How's he doing?
Well, he's doing all right. I mean, he just set you free and walked off in the sunset. But it's dong physics.
I heard that they added penis physics.
And don't forget about the ladies. The ladies got their physics too.
Oh, that's good, right? Like equal opportunity physics. So Conan shows up in the very beginning. He's just there. He's just hanging out.
It's the cinematic. He plays. He cuts down the player, and then he walks off. I haven't gotten too far. I delved into it a little bit. It played just like Ark, if you remember Ark.
Excuse me. I do remember Ark. Can you ride turtles? Because that was probably the most fun I had in Ark.
I have not delved that deeply this season. I did not see a saddle, though, so probably not yet.
Well, it's not that I rode on the... I technically just hopped on the turtle, and it took me about a foot.
Oh, you could ride those in Ark.
Yeah, I know. I never got a saddle. I just sat on them.
Like battle dinos.
Yeah, I need to play more Ark. The trailers make it look a lot better than what I experienced. So Conan is early access. It's another one of those games. It's a builder game. It's kind of like a survival sandbox.
It's a very polished early access. It's made from the same people that made the Age of Conan, the MMO.
Really?
Yep. So they also have a thing, like you buy the Barbarian Edition, their collector edition. They send you a bunch of stuff, and you get like in-game things for Age of Conan. And I was like, that game still exists?
It's free to play,
like, not 11 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. I think it's a free-to-play MMO now, isn't it?
What?
Free-to-play? Isn't it free-to-play, the Age of Conan?
I'm not too sure. But I played it when it first came out, and it was hailed as, like, the mature game.
I remember.
Because it had topless women in it, and you could be topless.
That's what it took. Back in... Well, I remember I bought it, and then I was heading up to university, so I had my computer, and I had the box of Age of Conan, and I'm like, I'm going to play this MMO, because where I lived, I had dial-up, so the fact that I could play an MMO on high speed, I was like, sweet, and it was not that good, but you're right, it was mature.
It had a great tutorial, the first 10 levels.
First 10 levels was really good, really polished, and then once you got out of there, it was kind of like... Yeah.
What do you do? I quitted. Yeah. That's what I did.
So like Age of Conan, Conan Exiles has the mature content. So is this the mature builder? Like, is this...
Well, Rust had dunk physics before Age of Conan.
Oh, but it had boob physics.
Actually, I think none of them moved, but they at least had a dong.
Okay, so this is the mature builder. This is the mature...
Sure, I mean, you can make your dong as big as you want it to be. But
the dong,
or as
slider.
Small as you want it to be, I guess. But anyway,
hey, whatever.
If you don't focus on the dong,
yeah, of course. Why would
or
we?
Or the boobs? You can actually look down on a female character and see your own boobs.
What?
That's the level of detail this game has.
Why? Who? Why?
I have no clue.
Why? Why? Like, it's just is okay. So let's move. We're gonna get trapped. Let's move past the point that you can look down at yourself as if you were suddenly body switched and you're just like, oh, okay, well, this is happening.
There are some nice options. You can go no nudity at all, and it just puts a loincloth on you and that's wraps nice. Over boobs. Or you can go partial, which just lets the boobs flop out.
Of course.
And then there's the full, of course. But every server can have their own option like that. They can have a server-wide option, and you can have a personal one.
Oh, okay.
So,
and that applies it to everybody? Like, it'll throw ribbons across all the... Yeah. The
server
bits.
Won't let you be nude if the server says that you can't be nude.
But if I've set my personal to, you know, no
if
nudity...
If you set your personal, you will not see other people's.
Oh. Well, that's a bonus, because, again, like, these builders, these open-world builders, are usually played by... the younger generations, right? Like the younger gamers. Like Minecraft alone is probably one of the most popular games among you know, kids, you know, and the fact that they're so that's why I say, like, is this the builder, the open world builder, the open world survival game for adults? Like, how far did you get into it?
A lot of potential. Mm-hmm. I've heard this is not me experiencing it, but you start out and you go, you're not even on the map when you start, and you have to go find the rest of the map. And once you find it, you get cursed or something. And to cure the curse, you have to enslave people and have them dance around you. Now, I haven't done that.
Okay.
To enslave the people, you have to torture them first. So it's Conan, of course. So it might be the mature game builder.
Wait, so dancers around you? Like, what are the white?
Like women dancers, just slaves, dancing around you, like, weird, to cure you.
So how many stones does that take? Like,
I have no clue. That's just what I've heard about the game.
You just literally booted up the game and started playing. So you're not far. You're early into the early access.
I got into the early access, and I'm like, this game is fun, but I have other games on my Steam that remind me of this, and I want to play them more.
Yeah, no, I can feel you. And
but it does have the easiest server hosting I've ever seen on one of these games.
Oh.
You boot it up, there's join server, or there's single player or co-op. And that, just make your own server.
Oh,
from the menu. No other boxes.
It just works.
Different client. It just works.
That's one of the things, and I know this is blasphemy for PC users, but that's one of the things I really don't like about PC games is the I love that you give the option, the server browser option. I'm not saying that's not important. It's super important because a majority of gamers, especially the vocal ones, want a server browser. I get it. But when it comes to these early access games, if I just want to play with my friends, one of the hardest things to do is trying to, like, okay, this server's got a spot. Oh, it's just filled up, so I'll quit out. You jump in. And that's awesome to hear that it seems like that's very simplistic. Now, Little Ike in the chat room is saying,
they said the corruption.
Yeah, so dancers are supposed to cure the corruption, but what I was going to say is that Conan has so many server issues that they can't fix infrastructure. The game looks great, and watching streamers doing great things, but getting kicked every 30 minutes is frustrating. Now, the game did just launch this week, correct? Like, this is a brand new experience for folks, right?
Yeah, last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does have the lag issues, but I mean, it is early access. This is as early access as it'll get. And it already has more stuff than Rust ever did when it started out, and it probably still does. And you can spawn gods right now that go kill other people's cities.
Really?
You can, like, build a temple and then have your god go over and kill them.
So I have a code for this game. I was thinking of checking it out. I've literally this week, the only thing I've had time to do is prepare for the show and play Fire Emblem Heroes. That's it. And pre-order more Nintendo Switch stuff. But yeah, we'll talk about that on another show. But I feel like this is a game that I do want to jump into because I like the idea of open world builders. I just have never found one that really clicks with me. And I'm not saying that dancing, fiddly bit sliders and all that is going to do it for me, but you know,
I just find it weird that there was a slider for that, but they didn't have a slider for the physique, which is grayed out right now.
Weird. So you're just always a muscly dude? You can't, like...
Yep. They have a height meter, and that's it.
And that just stretches the model, or does it actually look like it's increasing your height?
It's pretty decent.
Okay.
They have a breast modification for males, too. You can make your pecs bigger.
Well, hey, equal opportunity pec physique. I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, the only thing I've heard about this game is that there's a dong slider. You know, you start off as a crucified victim, and that's about it. That's all I know.
Like I said, the server single player stuff, all the options for a server is right there, and you can access them in game.
That's good. I really like that. So I'll check that out.
Real time too.
Oh, cool. Really? So real-time combat is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, and the server options. You don't have to restart a server.
Oh.
You just press a slider. Oh, now you're getting more XP.
That's good. That's really good. Well, I do want to thank the patrons over at patreon.com/thegamersin for supporting the show. You too can support the show by going to patreon.com/thegamersin, like Ventigo did, who's been a patron for a very long time, an awesome, awesome person. And yeah, we're going to be doing, like we've said before, we're going to have new Patreon goals and rewards coming soon. And the first, the return of Game Night will be in February. We can say that. That's happening. We have set that in stone, even if we don't get those updates up there just yet. But if you want to join in on the conversation, you can go to Discord. You can join our Discord by going to bit.ly/TGI Discord. That's going to be a lot of fun. Go there and you can talk about Fire Emblem Heroes, exchange your friend codes, and all that fun business. But before we wrap up the show, I do have a quick news story that I thought would be fun to discuss because, hey, I'm hosting the show. Let's keep this Switch train going. Nintendo says their internal devs have mastered the Unreal Engine, and you can too, meaning developers can get on the Switch train by using the Unreal Engine 4, which is fully optimized for the Switch, even going as far to say that allowing for easy PC ports less than a year to port your PC game over the Switch. That's pretty decent, you know.
I have a question about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the Wii U, there was this game I'm pretty sure Nintendo didn't make,
right,
called Meme Runner.
Okay.
Do you remember Meme Runner?
I do remember hearing about it, for sure.
I'm sure no big company made that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Wii U let independent people put their stuff on. Have you seen the Unreal Engine Zelda games? Or people Ocarina of Time and stuff?
Yeah, I've seen those sort of like user-created remake Zelda games in Unreal, remake Mario in Unreal, yeah, for sure.
So, do you think we'll ever see something like that, a fan-made Unreal Engine recreation?
Obviously, this doesn't mean that Nintendo isn't going to vet your games on their system. So, if you made a remake of Ocarina of Time in Unreal Engine 4, like, they're not going to allow you to sell that. That's not really what they're talking about here. Now, that being said, if someone had a dev kit and they wanted to run it on the Switch, that could be possible, I assume. But as for selling it, like me being able to play it, like that would be probably unrealistic. But I think it's important that they support, you know, Unreal and Unity, as those two engines are probably one of the most, you know, most used across the industry. And this isn't news per se that Unreal and Unity are going to be supported on Switch. This is old news, but the fact that Nintendo is saying that they have already mastered the engines on their system is very important for third-party developers, because if they need assistance with porting their games, that they can work with Nintendo, right?
Unreal Tournament Switch Edition.
I wonder, you know, that would be interesting. Like, and that begs the question, does this mean that the games that heavily use Unreal and Unity, are we gonna see those games come over to the Switch, you know?
I hope so. It would be, just to have more of a catalog of games on the Switch would be nice.
Yeah, and I mean, the Switch is brand new, and we're just getting around to having it launch, but yeah.
Maybe they need to make some more consoles before they start making more games.
Yeah. The pre-orders have officially sold out, I think, across the board. There's a trickle that keeps coming up. But I think this is important news. I think it's interesting to see that Nintendo is out there flaunting the fact that the Switch is going to support these models or these engines, and that they're supporting these engines internally as well. Because usually when Nintendo builds a system, they have their internal tools that they put ahead of other tools, right? So this is important to see this. But I did remember another story that actually broke today, was that E3 tickets are on sale to the public this year, which is pretty crazy.
Were they not public tickets?
No, you had to have a press badge to get in. You had to prove to the people who were running E3 that you had a reason to be there, you know. You had a reason to go to E3. I had a friend in college who went to E3 because he basically like created a website and put just enough content up there to be technically a media person. I think it was like it was like electric pickle or pickle dancing or something. It was really dumb and totally fake. But he went to E3. So it turns out, starting on February 13th, the ESA will open sales on 15,000 tickets to consumers, with the first 1,000 tickets selling for $149 each, and then the rest jumping up to $249.
For a ticket to one of those events, that sounds pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's a three-day event. It's a three-day pass, full access to the show floor. Do you feel like this is something you would want to do, knowing what kind of stuff gets announced at E3?
Of course. I'd love to go to something like that. I always wanted to go to BlizzCon. But it's also, I'm on a, E3 is in California, right?
I think so. I think it's in LA.
And so that's all the way across the nation for me, specifically. You guys too, I guess, right?
It would be, yeah. This is across the nation for us as well. Because I'm on the East Coast. And you know, like, E3 already sees a lot of people attend this event. Opening it up to another 15,000 of the public.
I wonder if they're going to get a bigger venue.
Well, no, I think it's the same venue. It's the same venue. The I don't know where they... It's the Los Angeles Convention Center. Yeah, Los Angeles Convention Center. It's interesting. I mean, you know, when I started getting into games and realizing what E3 was, I would have loved to go. I was like, oh my God, you went to E3, that's amazing. But now you look at E3 and it's like, with the dawn of the internet, you can get almost the same experience information-wise from your home
computer. You can get the same cringeworthy entrances as well.
No, and you wouldn't have to sit through those boring press conferences. Okay, tell me about the SimCity app you got. All right. So you're not building another sim game? Okay, fine.
You don't get to see Pele on stage.
No.
You don't go.
But he looked really sad. I don't know if I'd want to see that in person. He looked really unhappy to be up
on stage. They had a really energetic guy last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go just to play Cuphead finally, since it's never going to come out.
That's the one thing that we wouldn't benefit from by not going to E3, is that there are demos that take place at E3 on the show floor that you can get your hands on that usually sometimes will never even see the light of day, you know,
like Scalebound.
Yeah, Scalebound was on. I'm pretty sure Scalebound was on the show floor that you could have played it, and we've lost that chance. We'll never get to play Scalebound. You're right.
Star Wars 1313. I think it was that a played content on stage, or
I think that might have been a demo. I can't remember. Can't remember.
This poor titles.
Yeah, this does not really interest me. I don't know if I want to spend $250 to go to a convention that has like a ton of people. So like in 2016, they had an attendance of just over 50,000 people. That's a lot of folks, isn't it?
Well, you also got to get a hotel.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's interesting that they're opening up to the public. I don't know whether that means that they're going to be adding extra, like, I want my media people. Like, I want my media folks, the people that I like to follow on the internet that go to these events, to be able to have access to.
Oh, yeah, I'd want them to get it over the public. I wonder if they're going to. They must have already parceled out, like, who they're going to send out there.
They do, yeah. Yeah, they only accept people who they deem media worthy, I suppose, right?
So, maybe they cut a lot of people, and that's why they have space to get more people.
Maybe that could be the case. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like the numbers, like it's interesting. It won't, again, if we're not planning to go, it's not going to affect our enjoyment of E3. There's still going to be all the announcements, all the demos that take place. So I think it's not going to bother us, but what the people that it does bother are the folks that are paying to go to this event as media to cover video games. So I don't know, like, why don't you create like a consumer show, you know, rather than having E3, which is a media show, opening up to public seems like the last thing you'd want to do, right? You'd want to create more consumer shows like what PlayStation has done with the PlayStation Experience, which happens in December, or what Nintendo has done recently with their Switch tour, where they're taking it to a bunch of cities and inviting people to come to them free of charge. So Or BlizzCon, the elephant in the room. BlizzCon's a perfect example of a consumer show that is a consumer show. But there are also media that go to that show. So I don't know.
Was E3 the one with the VR experiences? Like the big one set up last year? Like the Mass Effect, or was it Halo?
It could have
been. You were on a ship or something.
I don't know. Like HoloLens? There was some HoloLens stuff. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, E3 usually gets a lot of that stuff, so it could have been E3. And again, like I'm not poo-pooing. There are people out there that like would love to go to E3, and $150 to $250 a ticket isn't a big ask. And if they're selling, if they usually get 50,000 people attending, and they're selling 15,000, you have a really good chance of getting in. Because how many tickets do they sell for BlizzCon? Like, it's actually a lot. Isn't it?
They sell out like within seconds.
They do, but I don't think E3 is going to sell out. I think, again, like I hope they're not going to change what the show is, because I really do. I don't want my favorite folks that go in and talk about video games to have less time to enjoy those video games. But I don't know. But what I do know is that you can go to etch.amove.tv or shirts.amove.tv and purchase your favorite Amove swag, whether you want to purchase a TGI beer glass or get your new tax shirt at shirts.amove.tv. So check out those sites for all your favorite Amove stuff. And that's going to do it for a show. Jeff, we did it. We survived the Gamers Inn episode 256, where we talked about Fire Emblem, Conan, and Dong Sliders. It was a rough go, but we did it.
Not a title.
No, isn't? No, that can't be a title. We can't do that. I don't think we can include Dong in our title. but why don't you let the fine listeners know where they can find you on the internets?
Well, I'm usually just at Twitter on JeffWeber2.
Okay.
But I don't really post much. I don't really stream right now. And Discord, I'm on our Discord, but I don't message much either.
Well,
I'm just here.
You're just around, and
I'll be at the game nights.
Yeah, there you go. When game night comes back this month, I don't know what we're gonna play. I think we had an idea, and then it quickly like dissipated. I can't remember what it was, but. Oh yeah,
I'm feeling it's gonna be some five-letter word that has some gods in it.
Oh, Smite. It's been a while. I saw Jocelyn in her recovery phase tweet out a picture about Nox. Speaking of boob sliders, they jacked that one up, didn't they?
Well, I mean, Neith has more, so
I mean, yeah.
And Soul has no coverage at all, so
Smite, the wonders of
If they went true, all the females would be topless, because that's how the gods were portrayed.
Well, Conan is the only one that has the gumption to do that. Sam Grizzle in the chat room, while we're here, get a little listener feedback here. A listener question. Elder Scrolls 6 release date estimate? Man, I think we're waiting. We're going to be probably looking at 2020, I'd say.
I had this theory earlier. I was watching James stream Iagovos.
Okay, yeah.
He was doing Subnautica. Mm-hmm. And there's these giant creatures that look like the silk sliders from mm-hmm. Morrowind on the bottom of the sea. So I told him, that's Elder Scrolls there. That's the planet in the future. So there's your Elder Scrolls 6.
Underwater?
Underwater.
Oh, man. That'd be pretty crazy.
There's some precursor bases. Those are, of course, dwarf bases.
They've talked about, like, they haven't talked about Elder Scrolls 6, but basically what they've said is that, like, it's a long ways off. We have other projects in our hopper right now. Like Elder Scrolls 6 isn't even something we're working on. But then there are these trademarks that go up every time they release an Elder Scrolls game. They trademark the next one, and the next one's something to do with the Redguard, supposedly. But as for a release date, I wouldn't expect to see anything trailer-wise or news-wise until 2020. And I mean, Fallout 4 leaked like crazy. So maybe that'll happen.
I think we'll get a Fallout before we get an Elder Scrolls 6.
Another Fallout? I feel like Fallout 4 kind of like came out and just kind of, you know, like whittled out. I don't think it had the same, like, you know, gumption, the same force that Elder Scrolls had.
Or the way Skyrim's going now, it'll be ported on the phone before 6 ever comes out.
Well, if they're bringing it to Switch, I'm pretty sure they can find a way to get it on your smart devices or your iPads. But yeah, I don't know. But
Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes. Go play Fire Emblem Heroes as suggested by us. That's going to do it for a show. Visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at JossPlays, myself at R. Murphy, Jeff at, what was it? It was Ventigo.
Jeff Weber 2.
Jeff Weber 2. You can find him on Twitter there. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google Plus if that's still your thing. Also, email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com if you want to tell us about your time with Fire Emblem Heroes, or maybe even how you created a character in Conan Exiles. We won't judge. We won't judge. But yeah, write in, let us know. Thanks for watching, and have a fantastic week.
Bye-bye.